Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Today is Thursday Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT, coming to you on a wondrous, beautiful day that God has made. And we will be glad and rejoice in it. Amen, amen, amen. Today is Thursday Thirst for Truth, and I will be coming out of Psalms 27. We're talking about change. We're talking about make it a change. We're talking about God's change. Let us pray. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me and the people on the line with any type of events, circumstances, dear Lord, and problems in our lives that we cannot change. Show us the way to accept those things that hurt our hearts and tangle with the virtue of our souls. Amen. Father God, help us to understand that our acceptance of issues, situations that we believe are wrong or against Christianity does not mean, dear Father, that we believe they are correct. Help us to have peace, joy, love with these type of situations and ease our anxiety when we face them. Amen. When we face them, in Jesus' name. I mean, our God is so good. Our God is so good. We're talking about changes, hard for us to make changes in our lives, and it's something. And I was talking with a brother a week or so ago. We had breakfast, and Brother Dave was his name, and we had breakfast, and we were talking about, you know, how people change, and when you see the change, it's time, you know, it behooves those that's in authority to forgive, to really forgive. And we mentioned Tukey Williams, I think that's his name. He was running the most notorious gang in the United States, and he was running the Crips, and Tukey was on death row, and now he never did any actual killing himself, but he put orders out and stuff of that nature. But while he was on death row for years, he wrote a lot of children books, and And he spoke about a lot of things, you know, regarding his life and the changes that he had made while he was in the institution, the penal institution. But it's funny, and we were just talking how this man wrote some beautiful children books, and he talked about his change. And he made mistakes like all of us have done, you know, like just like Moses and David and many others, you know. But, you know, we know that he was forgiven by God, but we were just talking about how the governor at the time was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and how he was, you know, so righteous, and he saw the change. You can see the change in Tukey Williams, but yet he would not commute his sentence or allow him to stay the execution, so the man wouldn't be executed. But however, you know, we throw stones and we have glass houses, and as you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger, here he is having a child out of, you know, with his maid that was in the house, and you know, so he looked at other people, and yet he was doing wrong himself. Sin is sin, amen. Sin is sin. We're talking about change. When you see the change, you know, in an individual, you see this change in your brothers and sisters, and when you see the change in your neighbors, and when you see the change, you know, you have to just say, hey, you know, it's not what I used to be, but it's not, you know, where I came from, but it's where I'm going and where I will end up, amen. We're talking about change, amen. We're talking about change. There's a story about it, y'all. This, I think he was a football player. Yeah, he was a football player for the Seattle Seahawks, and I think his name was Oak. It's an odd name, but he grew up being extremely self-sufficient. You know, his father, he said, passed away when he was a young child, making him the man of the house. Since then, he's taken on that responsibility, and as he grew up, he did a lot of things for himself and his family, and he became really independent. And he went to college, and a hurricane went through his town of Houston, and his mom and sister were at the house by themselves, and he was at school, and it was a tough time because they called and told him that there was a flood. The flood went through the house, but however, they were all right. And he remembered looking at himself and saying, you know, why, you know, why, you know, asking God why. You know, why was this going on? Why did my father pass away when I was a child? Why did I feel this way? See, all of these whys in asking that, he found that out some things were just out of his control. See, when things is out of your control, there's nothing you can do about it. It's like saying, you know, you carry your burden and you leave it at the altar. You know, you let someone that's more powerful and almighty to take on the problems, take on the load. And he said he couldn't do everything on his own. So he thought that he had to be someone bigger. He needed someone bigger to make sense of what was happening in his life. And he remembers sitting in a chapel one day, and when God spoke to him, it was crazy how God will come to you, even in the small this situation, you know, and he comes to you in a subtle way, and that whispered, and he heard that whispering, and God said, he said, you don't have to do this alone. You're not by yourself. And that's what we, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we're not alone. God is always with us. We don't have to see him. We know by his presence that he's there. And at that moment, the football player, he realized that God had always been there. You know, since he was very small child, he even thought that, hey, I was doing things on my own. I couldn't have done anything without him. And that's the truth. We cannot do anything without God. You know, when that happened, you know, we know that God is the only person that can give us that present of hope. It is truly for us to believe that God is everything, and He will take care of itself. Our problems will take care of itself if we believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the football player Okuk did. All of a sudden, he noticed things were changing. He said he felt better. He felt more at peace, you know, with himself and a peace about his situation. He learned to trust God and with everything that he had and decided to give it up, surrender all to him. It just goes to show, you know, when we think we're in a dire situation, when we think that things is not going right, when we think that we can't pull it out, when we think we can't finish the race, when we think we can't climb that mountain or move that mountain, we have to know that our God is an awesome God. He's an all-powerful God. You know, one thing that I believe is greatly to be seen is when I look at David in Psalms. You know, David complete trust in the Lord. He had a confidence based not on his own ability, but the strength of the Lord. You know, mounting that confidence with his enemies, and even armies in war. You know, David believed and trusted God. And he knew that God was going to take care of him, and he knew that his battle will be won, and it's not going to be by himself. He knew he had the Lord on his side. Amen. You know, I'm going to just try to touch on 3 points, you know, that I grasp from this psalm, you know, to strengthen our confidence and to make that change in our life and to trust in the Lord like David did. And a few examples. And point one is I feel that David's desire for the Lord is Psalm 27. It states, it said, 27:4, it said, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." You know, to meditate in his temple. You know, do we ask that question? I mean, David didn't ask for riches or fame. He didn't ask for wisdom. He asked for his God, his chief. He desired that, you know, to be near God. You know, is that truly one of our desire? What if we had that one desire, my brothers and sisters? What would your desire be? Above everything, you know, we could gain in this life, what would your desire be? If we were able to ask one of those things of the Lord, would it be the same as David, or would it be something else? Amen. In Psalms 73, it states, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all things who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. What is your good? You know what? You know, when you go through these struggles and these trials and tribulation, you know, what is your good? What are you looking for? Where are you looking? Where are you looking for the strength? I mean, is it in the house, the den house where you can go and smoke and shoot up? Is it on the corner where you can pass the whiskey bottles to one friend? Is it in a group where you're plotting to rob a bank or rob individuals? You know, where do you go for your good? See, we need to be, as Paul described in Acts 27, he said, to seek the Lord, to grope for him. Do we, my brothers and sisters, do we reach for the Lord like that? Do we believe that without the Lord we would not survive? David sure did. See, the Lord should be our constant pursuit, no matter what we're going through. You know, we need to live, you know, our lives as David, because David realized that the thing that we tend to pursue in this life cannot be compared to our God. So what are you pursuing in this life that you actually trying to compare, that you think that gratification is going to be eternal, that gratification you're grabbing for is just temporal? It's not eternal. Because after you finish, you're grabbing for more of the same demon that is keeping you down. Amen? We need to reach forward to the prize and not allow the world or the things of the world to get in our way. And we do that too much. We allow money. We allow fame. We allow drugs. And we allow, you know, whatever that we can affix to our fancy to bring us that short gratification, you know, to be the man or to be the woman. We tend to grab for that instead of grabbing and seeking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Are we seeking him in our times of need? Are we seeking him when we're not, or we do not need him? Are we seeking him constantly? Are we diligently seeking him? But what are you diligently seeking? What are we diligently seeking? Amen. Are we seeking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? Amen. See, David realized his worth, and he started focusing on the Lord. You know, David said the Lord is beautiful. Amen. In Psalm 27, it says beautiful. He said the Hebrew word used here in this context is given to the idea that beautiful. It's like you can't, David said, you can't take your eyes off the Lord. Things are just so beautiful, you can't take your eyes. You just can't help but to stare and focus upon him. He is worthy of us not taking our eyes and thoughts of him, off of him. You know, it's just like when, you know, we grew up and we see this young lady or the lady see the young man and he or she just can't take his or her eyes off that individual, because that individual just grasps something inside of them that's holding on to their thoughts and to their soul, and they don't want to release it. You see, but that's what we should feel about the Lord. He is so beautiful. And he's beautiful to us, that we should just can't take our mind off of him. You know, we should just think about him every step that we take, every move that we make. Amen. That the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is the Lord. He is the all-powerful one, the all-knowing, the creator of all things, the one that gives, is the giver of life, the giver of salvation. He is worthy of our attention. If we give our attention to, we just divert some of the attentions we give to other things and divert it and make that change and give that attention to the Lord, you can realize how pleasant and how beautiful it will be. You know, sometimes we get more attention to the vehicle. We get more attention to our jobs. We get more attention to money. We get more attention to drugs, to alcohol. We get more attention to crimes. We get more attention to other people that we tend to admire. We give other attention. If we give that same attention to the Lord, think how much better, how much wonderful your life will be. Amen. In Psalms 27:8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. See, David, you know, he did not hesitate to obey the Lord in seeking his face. We shouldn't either. You know, we seek everything else. Oh, don't we? We know we have. Because I know I have at one time or another. And I know you have also. See, it was an easy conclusion for David, you know, to reach to that point because he knew the greatness and the faithfulness of God. We need to know the greatness and faithfulness of God when we seek his face, when we diligently seek him. Amen. See, when we faithful to the Lord, obedience is necessary. If we make the claim to be the Lord's people, when we make the claim to be his children and he's our father, if we claim to be seeking the Lord, then we cannot even say we have fellowship. If we're not seeking God, we can't say we have fellowship with God or love God if we do not obey his commandments. Amen? If he gives us an assignment to do, and we know it's our assignment, and we're disobedient, we tend to ignore it. My brothers and sisters, we have to seek his face. We have to make that change. It's that truly experience the grace of forgiveness of God that we need, like David did. You know, we will not hesitate, and we should not hesitate in living according to God's will for us. We will have a desire to know God's word. Study to show yourself approved. You know, in Psalms 27, it said, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies. See, we don't quite understand. We're going to have enemies. Not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to be your friend. So don't even think that. See, David understood that God's way was so much greater than his own, and that he was safe in the Lord's. He was safe in the Lord's hand. And if we lean out to our own understanding and follow God's way, we will know that we are safe in his hand no matter what. If we walk with him. So we saw God's word as that lamp for his feet and guide for his path. We know that. And we need to carry that lamp with us and be guided by him. We need the same desire for the Lord like we desire for other things. Point two says that the sacrifice of joy. Well, you know, we should offer the Lord a sacrifice of joy, even during the times of trouble and the times without trouble. We should sacrifice our joy because the Lord is our joy. In Psalms it says, 27 it says, and now my head should be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. We have a song. Sing your song, my brothers and sisters, whenever you're in trouble. Sing your song. You know, sing your song. Get that joy. Get that peace. Amen. Regardless of how much you are being surrounded by your enemies, you should still have joy. Amen. See, because we know that there will be victory. Our battle is already won. With the Lord near us, we know that joy is all that we needed. We know that the Lord, when he's near us, victory is already won. We know that the Lord, when he's near us, it's a done deal. I was the other day, it was Pastor and I was visiting a friend, and we happened to stop by the house, and we started talking, and so Pastor went on and was talking with his wife, and I was talking with the gentleman and her husband, and we were just talking about, you know, life changes, and he was telling me, he said, Elder QT, man, he said, you know, I had so much hate. He said, I had so much hate. You know, the way they were treating us. I had so much hate in my heart and didn't know how to get rid of it. He said, I went to the service, and he said, I saw what was going on in the service. He said, Brother QT, as soon as I came out, he said, I heard that they shot Martin Luther King. And he said, and I'm saying, you know, that build up, that instilled in me more hate. And he said, and it's hard for me to get rid of it. He said, I couldn't get rid of it. He said, just that anger that was inside of me. He said, then I met my wife, and he said, and she, I met her when I was 25, and she brought me to the Lord. And he said, and that was the only way I could relieve some of that anger, some of that hate, some of that unforgiveness that was inside of me. He said, it was her bringing me to the Lord and allowing me to read scriptures. And he said, because even today, it tried to conjure up inside of me. He said, but I go to the scriptures and it sort of quiet my soul. But he said, it's sort of hard. He said, I just want you to know, he said, you know, I'm there, but I haven't made it there yet. He said, but I'm still pressing towards the mark. He said, I'm going to get there. He said, yeah, but that anger rises up inside of me. He said, but I know how to control it to a point. He said, then he started counseling drug addicts and alcoholics alcoholic individuals and some individuals in gang. And he was saying, he tried to tell him about the hate they have inside, that inner man that is drawing them inside that they can't control. And it was a good conversation. And the brother realized that, you know, his only alternative was God. And that's ours. That's ours. That's the only alternative we have, is to seek his face, to seek that comfort, to seek that tranquility. You know, suffering in Acts 5 and 4, he said, suffering is a privilege. Amen. You know, we know about Paul and Silas being in prison. Yeah, were they suffering? No, they understood. Amen. You know, in Romans 5, it said, does the peace that the Lord give you help you get through the troubles that you face in this life? See, Paul realized that the hope that we have is so great that suffering could not cause his focus on that hope to diminish. He saw that the suffering only brought him closer, like it does us. It brings you closer to Christ, because it was forming within the character that God wanted him to have. See, we go through this suffering in lives and life and these trials and tribulations, but it's only to mold and to better our character, to make us a better person that God wanted for us. So we do not need to have that kind of attitude that instead of having the woe, you know, is me, you know, mentality, we need to have a better that attitude that something bad happened to us. We need to say, hey, Christ endured, so can we. If there's anything that we could suffer, that is too much to suffer for him. Do we suffer for him? Amen. See, when Paul was in prison, he wrote to the Philippians. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. See, when we go through changes, we need to step back and, you know, cry your eyes out. Yeah, do what it should, but then rejoice in the Lord. And after you rejoice, rejoice again. Get that fulfillment that you need. Amen. And Luke 22, it says, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manners their fathers did to the prophets. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we run across individuals that don't celebrate you, you know, and they don't even want to tolerate you, and yet you still trying to get along, to be alone, it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. When you run across those individuals, you know that, you know, you need to cast out those people from your circle, because all they're going to do is condemn you and make you feel bad. Then you start feeling bad about yourself. You need to let those individuals go because they're not for you. Amen. Our joy when we get rid of them should lead to praises. Amen. Now in James 5, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Sing your song. Like I stated earlier, sing your song. You know, you're going through these little changes and you're dealing with these knuckleheads. Sing your song. You know, get away from them. Rejuvenate your joy. Amen. Amen. And point three is, I'm going to touch on this. It says, point three is talking about to us, if you feel like you're disappointing, you know, if you're disappointing yourself or you think you're disappointing God, you know, God will never disappoint us. Sometimes we feel, I'm disappointed God. Now God's going to disappoint us. Wrong answer. Amen. Wrong answer. God will never disappoint us. He's always in our corner. You get into the boxing ring, he's in your corner. He's coaching. He's pushing you along. He's lifting you up when you fall. Amen. In Psalm 27 and 10, it says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's son. Amen. So we're talking about Jesus even experienced that, experienced what David did. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it's time to make that change. John 16 said, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. because the Father is with me. See, Jesus knew that no matter who failed him or forsook him, the Father would remain with him. And you should feel the same thing. Your Father will not forsake you at all. When others walk away from you, when others talk about you, when others debase you, degrade you, when others defame you, amen, you're not alone. You know that our Father, he would remain with us always. See, you know, we're talking about David and Jesus and Paul. See, these men had time to end their lives where they were completely, completely abandoned by their closest friend, by their relatives. But no matter who turned against them, no matter how many enemies surrounded them, no matter how many talked about them, cursed them, vile them, they knew that the Lord would hear their cries for deliverance. And we need to be deliverance, my brothers and sisters. We need that deliverance. Amen. We need that deliverance. Our God is an awesome God, and we need that deliverance. Amen. So we can. We need that confidence. We need that confidence in our God. We need that trust in our God, because he is always faithful to us. We might not always be faithful to him, but he is always faithful to us. Amen. See, faith in the goodness of the Lord sustains us when our faith in the goodness of man is broken down, is shaken, is thrown away, is kicked. Amen. See, when we had that adversaries, our enemies, against us, who and want to do us harm in all kinds of ways, we need not be in despair. Because in Psalms 27, it says, would you have despair unless I have believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? See, no matter, my brothers and sisters, what may come before us, we can rest assured that we will see the goodness of the Lord. See, we complain about the little things, and we're not seeing the big picture. Seeing his goodness will help us see past the evil that are done to us. We can see past the wrong that are done to us. We can see past the hate that is done to us, because we see the goodness of the Lord. And when we see that, it helps us get past the evil. See, David had that confidence in the Lord that I want to have. And hopefully you want to have. See, he did not put his confidence in horses, in the chariots at the time, or his enemies, or armies, but in the Lord. And we shouldn't put our confidence in people, in man, in drugs, in alcohol, in money, in fame, because that's only short-lived. You want that longevity, that eternal. But we want to keep our confidence in the Lord. It's all we needed, because we know that the Lord is always near us. We know that no matter how many men arose against us, and how many men and how many words and how many wrongdoings is said against us. We know that the Lord will cause them to stumble and fall every time they will stumble and fall as they try to rise up against us. You and me, we know that the Lord will always be there to allow our enemies to stumble and fall. My brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you something here. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something. Do you feel me? Do you feel me that the change in our lives is needed? Do you feel me? We need that change. We need that change. And how can we say that change is going to come if we don't have that change in our heart? How can we say a change is going to come when we don't have that trust and faith in the Lord? How can we say we have that change, that change is going to come when we can't change ourselves, when we have doubt within ourselves? How can we say a change is going to come? Amen. How can we say our God is a good God, is a good God, and we know that change is going to come? If we just hold on, that change is going to come. Amen. Amen. Hold on. Change is going to come. Our God is an awesome God. As I'm speaking to you, my brothers and sisters, we have to make that change within, the inner man. We have to know who to trust. We have to know who to trust. Amen. Is in a disarray and you having tragedy in your life, you having death in your family, here and there, and people around you, your friends are dying off, and you can't see your way out, just hold on. A change is coming. Just hold on. Everything is going to be all right. Because the people come up to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you appear to be so strong after going through so much in your life. And, you know, and how do you do it? You know, you want to tell them the Lord is, you know, the Lord is my Savior. You know, the Lord is giving me that strength. The Lord is picking me up, you know, when tragedy hits you. You want to tell them, that's how I, you know, I'm holding on because I know that that change is going to come. I know that that change is there. You want to just continue, my brothers and sisters, to hold on because our God is an awesome God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is there. He is there for you. Amen? Amen. Just hold on. You know, don't give up because a change is going to come. If you're looking for a change in your life and you need the Lord and to help you along the way and you don't know which way to turn, you know, find yourself a good Bible-based church. Find yourself someone you can cling to that can lead you to the house of worship. You know, and find someone that's gonna tell you about the Lord. That's gonna stand up and proclaim His name, and you want someone that's gonna say, hey brother, if you and sister, if you just declare Romans 10:9, you just declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. We talk about believing in your heart, making your heart change, throw away the stone, and bring back the heart of flesh, and that God was raised, you know, that God raised His Son from the dead, and you will be saved. And just those little words can bring light into your heart, can bring the light to your eyes of understanding, could allow you to have your ear gate to be open, my brothers and sisters. I just want to just tell you just those words and just hold on, you know, hold on to that change because a change will come just because what people say, and they can see the light, they can see the beacon in you. Then if you just stand up and say, this is why I'm so strong. This is why I can walk that mile. This is why I can stand up and proclaim the word of God. This is why tell them why. Tell them why. Don't be afraid. Tell them this is why, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, you know, the word gave me this joy. The word gave me this patience. The word gave me this peace, this love, this trust, this faith, the ever-increasing faith. Amen? The word gave it to me. And if I can give you some of it, just to get you moving just a little bit in the right direction, I'm happy. Amen? I want to thank you and thank my listening audience for being so obedient to the Lord and being so obedient to His word and allow Him to impart something in you that you can take with you today and tomorrow, that you can share with someone and lift someone up and bring someone, you know, maybe just bring someone to the Lord. You know, all you have to do is just plant the seed and allow God to water it. All you have to do is just show a hand, just show that love and peace and allow God to take care of the rest. That's all you have to do. You don't have to say much. You know, they can see it in you. Amen. Amen. Just want to thank you so much that God is so good and allow His peace to resonate and love to resonate inside of you. Marinate that inside of you. Amen. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. 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 See, the same time. next week. We have a conference coming up, hopefully in September, AMFL. Brother David Patterson and I will be assisting him, and we will be doing this conference, and it's for men, about men, and we hoping to establish mentorship, because our brothers need some directions. Amen. So thank you for being a gracious audience, and see you next week. Amen.
There's a sickness in the land, so heaven, heal it. There's a sickness in the land, so heaven, heal it. Oh, there's a sickness in the land, so we're reaching up our hands. Heaven, we need you to heal it. There's a child crying out right now.
Oh heaven, we need you to heal it.
Oh, there's a child crying out right now.
Heaven, we need you to heal it.
Heaven, send your angels down. Put peace in their hearts right now.
Whoa.
We need
you to heal it.
Heal it. Oh heaven,
we need
you to
heal it.
Oh the land, heaven,
we need
you to
heal it.
Heal the land, oh,
we need you to heal it.
Ooh, America,
heal it.
And all of the nations,
heal it.
Politics, yeah,
heal it.
Family,
heal it.
Planet Earth,
heaven, we need you to heal it.
Heal the land. Amen. Amen. We need to heal the land. I'm going to ask Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox to have a few words. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're all living.